So I would like to kind of give a short talk to set the scene for the practice in relation to joy, and just a kind of a few thoughts about the issue of joy and how that fits with what we're doing here. So it's important that we kind of see joy and happiness as our base, not something that we need to work too hard to get. I have in the mind the song of the Rolling Stones, "I can't get no satisfaction." I try and I can't get no satisfaction. So we try to get to be happy. And a little bit, I have to kind of reset the understanding of what is joy and happiness, and have a sense that a baby is born happy, and happiness is life, and happiness is the celebration of life, and it's just life doing its thing. And it's something, therefore, that we don't need to look for so much, but we shouldn't just disturb it. So we can't get happiness, but we can just not disturb it. It's already there. And it just somehow, one basic thing that we can do, we can approach this direction here in this retreat, is just to sense that all life is singing its song. Our body, our breath, the birds, the earth, the sky, the trees, even our thoughts, kind of singing their song. And if we kind of have that attitude, then it can help us to kind of go, kind of get close to default happiness. And what's been disturbing it is what in the Dharma you call the worldly winds. That means the kind of the winds of neediness in the world, and it's a whole teaching. And we build from that quite a needy personality around what I need, who I need to be, what I want, what I have to have, what's missing. And we're so busy in many ways all our life seeing what's missing, that becomes a kind of background in the brain. A sense of a kind of background voice that says something's wrong. What do I need to do to fix, to get happiness? And so this huge background of basic celebration in our body, in our cells, in our tissues, in everything, in our consciousness, kind of gets contaminated by a lot of what I need, what's wrong, what's missing, what isn't there, what I miss, machasech, machaseli. And then we have moments of relief, regei chesed, of course. So we need to kind of look at that more carefully, because the difficulties we experience in life, the struggles of life, they tend to leave more tracks. They tend to leave scars, tzalakot, in the consciousness, memory of difficulty. But we don't actually remember happiness so much. It's just okay. We don't really kind of... just well-being, revacha, ordinary well-being, doesn't seem to leave any tracks. Whereas issues that we come up with, struggle, pain, seems to leave tracks. So it's just the way the mind is. So, of course, I do want to make a difference between joy and happiness. So joy does seem to come and go, depending on experiences and circumstances and what happens to us. But a deep happiness is something that doesn't come and go. It's something we can discover, like I said, like a baby at the breast of life. Just its deep happiness goes with also peace, an inner peace. And it's not an experience so much as a state. So in this retreat, I would say there can be three directions that we can practice that help. The first is just very basic. Yonatan was saying before, and it's one of the most famous quotes in the Dhammapada, and the Buddha said, if you have a pure mind, then happiness will follow like a cart following a horse. If you have impure mind, happiness will not be able to follow. So it's purification, although I'm not sure I like the word too much. It seems a little bit heavy, but it comes also from the most famous book of the details of Dharma practice is the Visuddhimagga, which is called The Path of Purification. And it's a Theravada detailed text of all the methods and so on. And that's a word that's used in the Dharma, purification. But you can see it's about less about kind of this model of cleaning our mind, more of a sense of, as we practice here, we begin to see that what arises is just arising and passing. A story is just a story. It's not an absolute truth that we have to believe it. It's a story that arises and passes away. And our practice here, a lot of our practice is that in that territory, we will see experiences coming and going and gradually sense that they are, they don't have to be so rooted and believed and struggled with. Not denied and not forgotten, especially difficulties. We can see the dynamic nature of our consciousness. And it's just what happens. We do cry, and then the sun comes out. That's the nature of things. So if we see that our stories and our difficulties as, yes, we can cry, and then the sun comes out. Like the Buddha said, a line drawn on water, kav matsayer alamayim. So we begin to, in this retreat, really see these stories and narratives, and including disturbing ones, as experiences. That's what they are. Call them by their true name. They are experiences. They're not absolute truths which I made of them. They are experiences that come and go. That's a great liberating understanding that we can experience. We can see that again and again and again in this retreat. And as we kind of meet our challenges and again, Yonatan was giving some examples before, the challenges, the obstacles, the issues coming up, the restlessness, the tiredness, the tensions, the memories, the pain in the knees, whatever it is, and our needs and our aversions, and we can begin to sense that they are experiences and we can be bigger than them. And when we begin to see, in a way, what bugs us as just experiences, I don't want to say the word just, but nevertheless, an experience has a beginning and an end. Then, through that insight, concentration, quietness, stillness becomes much more possible. So it's just right at this point I want to remind all of us that stillness in the mind is not something that we need to hunt for and struggle with and measure how still is my mind, how much thought, how much noise in the mind. But we understand if we can, with clarity and insight, watch experiences come and go, including ones that are give us trouble, stillness appears by itself and happiness. We just disturb it less. So it's a little bit different attitude than I have to try and, if I sit and I sit and I sit and I breathe and I breathe and I breathe, my mind will shut up. It may not. Okay, but the relationship, we'll talk more about this in the course of the next few days, but the relationship between the insight that a disturbing experience is, including tiredness and restlessness, very mind-body, when we see them as experiences, they have less control of us. And stillness will happen by itself. So a lot of letting go and letting be and dropping the things that we carry. Like Ramana Maharshi said, we're on a train journey. This retreat can be seen as a train journey. We're passengers on the journey. So why do we need to carry our luggage, our bags? We can let the train take us and our bags. Just drop the lot, and the train will take us and our luggage, our kvuda. Just drop them. The second direction that I can suggest here would be the appreciation of rega'i chesed, of actually what isn't a problem, what is just, as I said, the song that everything is singing, the life, the celebration of life. It's really hard to imagine. Can I look at my thoughts as a celebration of life? They're so full of, they're such a mess. They're so full of to-do lists. And what's wrong and what I'm missing and so on. Is that the song that I want to listen to? I have to say yes. We may not be too happy with it, but it's still our song. And we can have a different attitude, not to censor our mind, but to see that this is us singing our song. And give it a little bit different attitude. So ordinary well-being can be very, very simple. Don't miss it, because we tend to look over one of the things that I mentioned before. We tend to jump over ordinary well-being because it's not dramatic. It doesn't have a big problem message. And look for what's wrong, or look for what I need to do, or look for what I have to improve, or look for what I have to fix. So I would, right at the beginning of the retreat, suggest also plenty of time and attention on what's right. And what's right really is, as I say, the song. The tree, it's a problem with the tree. It's just there, standing in the way it stands. That's it. No problem. The tree doesn't say, I wish it'd be like this. Hear me okay? You can hear me? The tree doesn't say, oh, I should be different. This branch is a bit annoying. I want to put it here, and I want to put that there, and I want this should be, and this is missing. And the tree's just made by life, and is just like that, another one like that. So really enjoy just some basic, simple well-being, quiet. Here I am sitting. Let's see, what's wrong? What's the problem? Here I am walking on nature, on the earth. Is there a problem? Here I am eating this amazing lunch and supper prepared with such love by a whole group of devoted yogis. Is there something wrong? Is there something wrong in this breath? Is there something wrong in the sky above? One of my very first Dharma teachers, which is lost in history a long time ago, said, I just want to tell you guys, you're warm, dry, and well-fed. So what's the problem? So maybe the most powerful two words in Hebrew and in English would be, so what? Powerful Dharma language, or in Hebrew, asma. It's just, you know, we have to ask that. So what? So that's another, I would say, part of our practice here is just to really appreciate the basic goodness of something very basic and very, very simple that we keep missing because it's too simple and too quiet, which is just this breath is fine, it's beautiful. And just here I am sitting, and here we are all together sitting quietly, and it's so beautiful. And we keep missing the just gentle, tender okayness of ourselves and the world. So do kind of pay attention to that. Even if it's not dramatic, we're not looking for ecstasy. We're just paying attention to okayness, to use the English, I don't know, revacha maybe. And it just takes more space. Then it begin. Well, we can look at Dharma practice. It's rather in a rather kind of, I would say, almost mechanical way. How much of our brain or our mind or our consciousness is filled with issues, and how much is filled with okayness? So we want to kind of increase the volume. Ha-nefach of the messages in our mind that says, what's the problem? The tree above, the sky above, the sun rises in the morning. Like Obama said when Trump was first came in as president, he said, yes, but don't forget the sun rises in the morning. Yeah, we do forget. When we're busy looking at Trump, we forget the sun rises in the morning. So just an invitation to remember that all through this retreat, constantly remembering that message. And it's not strong, but it's base. And we're breathing, just appreciate this breath. It's a beautiful thing. It's actually rather kadosh, rather holy. In a way, our meditation can be a little bit of a prayer. In that sense. And one final direction, I mentioned two, but one final direction can be being active in actually creating the conditions for happiness, even in this retreat. So it can be a memory of something happy that we would just go there, or it can be the practice of metta, of kindness, and of mudita, actually intentionally moving to the energy of love and care, or intentionally watching the goodness of the people here who are serving and helping us, for example. In just giving intention to what makes us happy. And we can do that in the breath too. I won't go into it now, but the Anapanasati Sutta, it's 16 stages of working with the breath. And most of those stages are levels of happiness and joy that we experience within the out breath. As we breathe out, remembering, letting go. As we breathe out, remembering, release. As we breathe out, remembering, ease. As we breathe out, remembering, just happiness. As we breathe out, remembering the magic of this moment. In the Pali is Pamoji, gladness of of being in practice. So just, that's the third thing I just want to mention. It's possible to do that, to actually invite happy experiences here. So that's all I think I want to say. So we've got 20 minutes to sit quietly. Settling ourselves into our place. And right at this, the beginning, we can remember refuge, a sense of coming home to our big awareness, presence, coming home to ourselves. Fully arriving in this moment with all that is happening right now. That's our life. in the sense that in this moment there's nothing missing. This moment is just okay as it is. Nothing to be changed or fixed or got. And then with that open attitude, we can give priority, adifut, to the breathing. Each breath is known from beginning to end. Yudimita neshifa v'shifa mi'atchala ad hasof. Kesuk shel gal adin, like a gentle wave that carries us. And there can be thoughts that pass, but they too are gentle waves. Galim Ktanim Bereka. They don't disturb us. And we collect ourselves into the present, giving attention to our bodily life, the life of this body. If we feel we need some extra help in exploring the life of the body, the sensations, tchushot, then we can notice there are places in the body that are very clear. For example, the touch of the hands, or the invitation from the earth that is pulling us down. The weight of the body pressing down. They're very clear experiences, and they can help to help us to collect ourselves in this moment. So we'll take half an hour for walking practice. Fetisha la halicha. And keep it simple and open. What's the experience of walking on this earth under the dark sky in the night? What's the experience, actually? And, od chetishai meditatsia biyachad po. La meditatsia chorona shela erev. Ve bokeh meditatsia b'shesh v'chetzi.